It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
By Chris's paving, driveways, parking lots, overlays. Locally owned and operated, your asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the New Orleans and Bayou regions. If you're paving it at all, give them a call. 985-960-2131. Our thanks to head coach Jay Ullman, the top of last hour head coach of the Tulane Green Wave. They won last night, getting ready for conference play at Rice. UNO getting ready to take on Nichols this weekend. Head coach Blake Dean joins us each and every Tuesday at 12:15. At 12:30, head coach Mike Silva of the Colonels as they get ready to take on Louisiana Tech tomorrow and then face the UNO Privateers in Thibodaux. We've been talking about your Pelicans as they get ready to take on the Nets. And as we welcome in Mr. Christian Clark, who is in Brooklyn, covering the team for you for the Picayune and the Advocate. Christian, first off, good afternoon, sir. I hope it's a gorgeous day as it is over here in New Orleans over there for you.
Hey, man, doing great. Got my little bagel this morning. Got my pregame workout in. I'm ready. I'm ready to see the Pelicans match their win total from last season with, 15 games to go?
Yeah, I mentioned your tweet earlier this morning on the podcast and on the show. It's remarkable when you look at it like that. We're going to kind of talk perspective here in a quick second, but I got to get your take on this. I have no idea if you've had ESPN on today or yesterday, but welcome to Bizarro World. Screaming A, J.J. Redick, Skip Bayless mentioning some guy named Alvarez on the team off the bench. I guess he meant Alvarado. They're picking them to go to the finals or think that they're a team that's capable of doing that. They're pumping up Zion. Look who he's at. It's Bizarro World, man, but I guess the team did earn that, didn't they?
Wait, he really said Alvarez?
Alvarez.
Oh my gosh! Well, I listen to JJ's podcast every once in a while. Very.
Oh no! That was Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless said Alvarez.
Oh, okay.
Skip Bayless.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, now it's making a lot more sense. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I think everybody can see it. Like, and I get why people are getting on their side. Like, I think Zion and the Pelicans in December after the in-season tournament were very much in prove it territory. Like, we need to see it to believe it. And we are seeing it. And so, like, to me, it's like that's a natural reaction. It's like Zion is clearly a different player physically than he was in December. So I get why people are on the Pelican side now.
I think that the thing that's interesting to me, and I brought it up because he was asked about it after the game on Saturday, about where he felt athletically, but more importantly, it's the bite that you and I talked about as well. Beginning of the season, I want to say it was before the team meeting in Dallas. I don't know if it was before the play-in or after. I'm taking a back seat. And I didn't pile on him then. I said, I actually saw a sign of maturity there. Sometimes it's okay to say I either need help or I'm not there yet. I'm not ready yet. You guys take it. So often in our field, Christian, we see players that are highly touted, picked highly, paid highly, and they force the, hey, I'm supposed to be the guy thing. I thought that was big of him then. And then to hear his answer this past Saturday was big for me. And I think if you're a Pels fan, you got to like the growth that he's done this year.
Yeah, man, that's an interesting observation. I mean, you know, like he said something along the lines of the last home game of like, yeah, I wasn't where I needed to be at mm-hmm. the beginning of the season. And CJ really filled that void at the beginning of the season. And it was almost like an acknowledgement that was like the most clear-eyed acknowledgement of like from him that he physically was not in a great place from a conditioning standpoint at the beginning of the season. And, you know, it prevented him from being the best version of himself. And I think, I really do think the turning point was the in-season tournament loss December. Like it just got so loud. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, like in the past, it's like when people would bring it up, it's like, you know, he needs to be in better condition. You know, it kind of get dismissed. Well, it was just so glaringly obvious and so loud. There was nothing anybody could really say. Because, like, anybody who, like, just understands what they're looking at is like, look, this situation is not going to improve unless Zion gets in better shape.
Yeah.
And to his credit, it seems like he has finally done it.
I mean, look, let's be honest. I mean, I've had that conversation with people, probably even you, in the locker room. Like, does he look bigger than media day? You know, I mean, it wasn't there. And now you look at him, and my goodness, I mean, diving on loose, you know, diving for loose balls, you're seeing the defensive plays. It's at least once a game, he's trying to block a shot at the rim or three-pointer. And to me, the 3.5-second coast-to-coast layup before the buzzer, he blew by people. And it reminded me, I think you're starting to see this past weekend, Christian. I was looking at Grab, I'm like, he looks like the best player on the court again, right? I mean, like, he looked like the best player on the court. Faster, stronger, unstoppable, all of that.
I mean, look, he's just been dominant these past four games. And it's not just from scoring a lot and scoring extremely efficiently, which he is. It is rebounding. It is passing the ball. It is getting steals. It is blocking shots. One of the biggest indicators to me that Zion is, you know, near his peak physically are those steals and blocks numbers. If you go back and look at his season at Duke, this guy was an incredible two-way player in college. Like, steals and blocks, monster. I think that was part of the reason people were so excited about him going number one overall. It's like, this guy is a two-way force, and largely we have not seen that defensive impact in the NBA. I think we're seeing some of that defensive playmaking these past few weeks, and like that's always something I look at for him, of like, how close is he to being the best version of himself? Is he getting steals and blocking shots?
I mean, the block against Virginia in the corner three, right? I mean, that's the one highlight that I got constantly, like, did he just do that? Look, speaking of Christian Clark, covers the Pelicans in the NBA for the Advocate Picayune in Brooklyn for tonight's game. His play obviously is a reason where the Pels are right now. But even while you're describing what Zion's doing, you mentioned things that happen on the defensive side of things. Christian, I kind of want to go into this in our discussion today. Brandon Ingram, man, I played some highlights, and then I do a little highlight montage after the game here for the show. And so many started with, you know, taken away by Ingram, deflected by Ingram, stolen by Ingram. His play on that side is absolutely the reason why the Pels right now are playing good basketball, huh?
It is a big part of it. I mean, it's Zion and Brandon both, I think, buying in and committing on the defensive end. Around the All-Star break, I remember Bob Myers, and I even wrote about this, he went on TV, and he was like, I just don't know about the Pelicans in the playoffs because I feel like they've got a lot of good players, but they don't have any great players. And when he said it at the time, just from what I had seen so far this season from Brandon Zion, I was like, you know, like, I tend to agree with him here mostly. Like, I think I thought those guys were capable of getting to another level, but that they hadn't really yet. And these past few weeks have really changed my opinion of what the Pelicans' ceiling is. And I think it is related to Zion and Brandon. I think those guys have just been, you know, like, more complete basketball players in all facets of the game, the defensive side of the ball. I mean, certainly availability. Like, that's probably the most important thing that's happened this season, is those two guys have been in the lineup night in and night out for this team. I mean, it is cliche, but it's like, it seems like they're just doing more of the little stuff that leads to winning lately.
Yeah, to your point, right? 14 straight games for Zion, 56, I think he's played already this year. Look, all of that works as well. It's nice to see CJ McCollum kind of look like his form, because he's had one of the better shooting years for him as well. Trey, we know what Herb's been able to do. How big is it that Dyson Daniels went through a full practice yesterday? Because that's another piece to their defense.
Yeah, the meniscus injuries are kind of interesting. Like, a lot of guys are having them lately. Trey Murphy was a guy who dealt with that at the beginning of the season, and the recovery timetables are kind of all over the place. I mean, it took Trey Murphy, what, 2.5-3 months to get back on the floor. It looks like Dyson Daniels is going to be back in like 6 weeks post-surgery. He's getting really close, and look, that's just another big switchable defender for the Pelicans to plug in there. This bench has just been so good all season long.
Christian, when you look at this four-game road trip, it's the final four games before what I've called the gauntlet. I mean, the six-game homestand's going to be pretty big, and then you go on the road for four, and you close up against the Lakers. And when you look at the teams that are going to be playing, I mean, they're all basically in the playoffs, playing for seedings. You know, the Spurs are in there, but, man, Wemby's been playing really good basketball as of late. So when you take a look at all of that, How big is this road trip here? Like, how many wins do the team you think needs to get here?
Yeah, I always do that of, like, whenever they go to a homestand or a road trip, in my head I'm like, well, I feel like they need to go so-and-so on this trip. And for the last homestand, I felt like it was 2-1. They were able to go 2-1 for this one. It kind of feels like 3-1 to me. I mean, 2-2 minimum, but, like, it really feels like they kind of need to go 3-1 if they, you know, want to hold that five spot on tightly, if they want to have any chance of moving up to four, which doesn't look crazy all of a sudden with the Clippers kind of cooling off a little bit and the Pelicans having that head-to-head tiebreaker. But I feel like the Pelicans, you know, it'd be really nice to get three of these games. Certainly won't be easy. You know, you'd like them to take care of business tonight and then get one of those games in Florida and then take care of business in Detroit.
Well, I mean, you look at Paul, what was it, Paul George over the weekend said they don't have an identity. I'm like, what? So the Clippers are looking for an identity, apparently. But to your point, I'm with you. I look at it as tonight, and they've been good on the road. They've had 21 road wins. They're second in the Western Conference in number of road wins, Christian. So I think that's one of the things that stood out to me, that they've been able to take care of their business. Tonight's one of those take care of your business games, maybe split the Florida games. And then I think Sunday's going to be a tough game. Monty Williams, those Pistons, they'll play you hard, but you have the talent and you should be able to get that win, but it's going to, you know, cost you. I like to see a split between Orlando and Miami. That's a tough back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And you know Miami's going to be charged up going into that Friday night game after, you know, that game, the way it went in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you know, go back and listen to the clip of Jimmy Butler inside the visitor's locker room in Smoothie King Center. You know, he was really talking some trash, giving some bulletin board material. You know, like the Pelicans, at least in front of the mic, didn't go that far. They all were just like, hey, look, it's the heat of competition. This happens from time to time. Jimmy Butler did not react like that in front of the mics. I mean, Jimmy Butler was like, hey, man, it's war when we play each other in March. So, I mean, I've definitely got Friday night circled on my calendar.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's the thing that was interesting when you look at it from that perspective, man. Anything else stood out to you here in the West, man, as every single night you just see this? I mean, it's crazy. I'm sure Adam Silver would love the stars that are on, you know, the Mavs and the Lakers and the Warriors and the Suns to be in the first round. But if that's your play-in games, man, it's crazy to me. I mean Luka and KD and LeBron and AD and Steph, those are play-in games right now.
Yeah, and like the Suns, man, like that's going to be a disaster if they, you know, don't make the playoffs. They only make the play-in, obviously. But like even if, you know, they get eliminated in the first round, that's going to be a disaster for them. Like, they are pot committed, you know? I mean, Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, out. All the picks, out. I mean, they are a second apron team, which is, you know, going to limit some of the stuff they're able to do transactionally in the next few years. Like, they are built to be a contender right now, and they just don't look like a contender. I mean, that's a huge NBA story that I don't feel like enough people are talking about. What everyone is talking about, like, when I turn on the national shows, it's Lakers-Warriors. And you know what, Gus? I hope both those teams get eliminated in the play-in tournament. I don't care. I'm just like, you guys, they're just not that interesting of stories this season.
Yeah, well, you know, every single time they play, it's the biggest game of the night when it comes to it. But I'm glad you touched on that. It's maybe something we should focus on moving forward because, you know, whether it's the second apron and things of that nature, are the Pels kind of built to where they can this growth can sort of continue? Because I'm with you. I thought the Suns overreacted. By Monty Williams, there goes CP. Their identity of who they were, that gritty sort of team, was different. But aside from what Trey Murphy's contract may be coming up, and you still got Hawkins. I mean, you're seeing what some of the guys in the squadron are doing. You got Liddell down there. You know, Carlo. I mean, this looks like a team that can sustain itself a little bit without having to go get high-priced players and stuff. But can they sustain that when you were talking about second apron with them? Or the Pels, they're not in that area, right?
Yeah, I think they're in a pretty good place. I mean, one of the really interesting things this offseason is after this year, Brandon Ingram only has 1 year left in his deal. I mean, I would imagine him and Pelicans come to the table, try to get an extension done. I mean, the way it's looking now, Brandon will be eligible for a contract that's, you know, worth 30% of the salary cap. Like, that's a pretty big number. So I'm really curious what that number looks like. But from a picks perspective, look, the Pelicans have all their own first-round picks. They still have one incoming from the Lakers. They can use it this summer or defer it to 2025. And they still have one from the Milwaukee Bucks in 2027. So they're like a plus two in first-round picks. I mean, I would be shocked if they make all those picks. Like, at some point, right. You know, it feels like those are going to get lumped in with salary to try to go for it a little bit more.
Christian Clark, as always, appreciate the time. Are you going to a deli for lunch? What are we doing for lunch?
Man, I'm keeping it light. I try to be healthy when I go on the road. I'm probably just going to, like, snack on this second bagel.
I love that, man. That's good. Thank you for your time, man. Enjoy the game tonight and safe travels.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Yep, Mr. Christian Clark covers your Pelicans and the NBA for the Advocates and the Picayune. Quick break. Next two segments are open. I want to hear from you, Pels fans. Saints fans as well. I promised you, it's coming up next. Going to play some Chase Young sound. He's the newest member of your New Orleans Saints, plus a couple of mock drafts have come out. Mel Kiper's second post-free agency mock draft. Who he has the Saints going at 14 and 4K, you better be listening. Mr. Jaden Daniels ain't a first-round pick. That's next on ESPN New Orleans.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. I see you, West Bank. Rick, I want to play this for you because I'm sure you want to hear. Yesterday, practice before the team left, Dyson Daniels was out there. Head coach Willie Green's update on him.
It'd be great. It'd be great. Another one of our key role players that comes in, can defend multiple positions. You know, he had a really good season until he had the injury, so it'd be good to get him back.
All right, so the timetable, though.
He went through a full practice today. He looked fine, but he's still probably a week and a half or so before, you know, he's ready to test out games. So it's still a progression that he has to go through, but this is a part of it, and he's getting past the first step now.
All right, and Dyson, as to going through that full practice?
It was great. You know, it's been like 4 or 5 weeks now, so it felt a lot longer than it was. But it's good to be back out there on the floor, you know, moving around with the guys, you know, playing some live stuff. So I'm excited for, you know, the next week or two to come back.
All right, so that's good to hear because, again, the defense is going to get better. You can put him with his size on some scoring, some shooting. Those are the kind of matchups in a series that's going to happen. As to when it happened?
Yeah, I think it's tough because I think it's the last game against the Lakers. I got kind of like kicked and knee caved in a little bit, but it just gradually got worse. Like, I hurt more and more. I finished the game out, but the next morning I woke up was when it was at its worst. But you know, I got an MRI and I revealed the tear. But you know, these things happen in basketball, and I'm just grateful that it could have been longer than it was, and I'm happy to, you know, nearly be back.
Well, isn't that something, huh? Isn't that something? Isn't that something, West Bank Rick? When he got kicked in the knee against the Lakers, ain't that something? Got kicked. Imagine that. Kicked hard enough to hurt your meniscus. Imagine that. What's up, West Bank Rick?
I heard that, and I said, "Darn Lakers!"
Is that what you said?
But I want to give a shout out to Chef Scotty and Uncle
Earl.
Uncle Roy. I'll be Uncle Earl. Right after you ended your show, I usually go to YouTube and try to find stuff that talk about Pelicans. And that's when I also got a Saints thing and just popped up, and I saw them sign a defensive end. And I was like, yeah, they did good. They did good. I hope Uncle Earl is happy with that one. Did he call in and say anything?
No, I haven't heard from him yet. I haven't heard from Uncle Earl yet as well. He was excited, obviously, and Chef Scotty, you know, texted us 14-3, and I said, let's breathe. It's a 1 year, $13 million deal, and you were about $15 million over under the cap. So you're back to being broke. And Chef Scotty said you're being negative. I'm like, no, you just don't have any money. Now, look, they can still restructure some players to get more money. You need at least $5 to $6 million to sign your draft pick. So I would expect some more restructuring to come, or I don't know how they're going to get it done, or how they figured it out and all that. But bottom line, here's the interesting aspect of it, because they're going to take credit for that. The Graph, if he's listening, will tell you. Here's another pat my back on the moment. About a year or two ago, I said the same thing. I remember texting Todd and Brian, if you're listening, who's a mile high, likely out west, when there were rumors and reports that Washington could be looking to trade him. Like, go get that guy. Because if he can remotely, because the injuries have hurt it. And you're going to hear from him coming up here in a minute. But before he got hurt, that guy had so much energy on the sideline. Like, when the Washington offense was on the field, he's, like, not cheerleading, but just involved. And he was dominant. I mean, like, he was good. And that's one of those things where I'm like, why not give it a feel and go do that? And I thought it would be something that would make sense to go and do a year ago before he went to San Francisco. And last year, and you would think it wouldn't, you know, San Francisco had so many storylines, you don't think about it. West Bank Rick. But Chase Young last year, okay, had 74 quarterback pressures. That was a career high. My man was playing for a contract. 8.5 sacks. That was a career high. If he just had those numbers for the Saints, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if he could just replicate what he did last year.
I think just having him underneath, the one thing I do give Dennis Allen credit for is his defensive scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being that he'll be working under Dennis Allen and them, I think he's going to, you know, he'll really show out. Look what he did with a lot of undrafted defensive players. So having a drafted person on the line, I don't even remember where he was drafted at. It's been a minute. So I want to say it was pretty high. Not high, but I thought it was pretty high. But, yeah, I just thought that addition to that line was a plus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still... You cold-blooded, bro. Why are you going to tell the people you still broke?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, that's what you are. I mean, I had to tell him that.
Right thing. I'm looking at. I'm trying to look at the bright side, but I'm still not. You know, so well, look, that they're going to make any noise.
To your point, okay, the dude's 6'5". 260, whatever it is that you want to call it, 260, 264, seeing different things. He was the number two overall pick, man. Yeah. I mean, the guy has talent. Injuries have kept him in. Yeah. Like I said, and the reason I brought up those stats from Pro Football Focus that pointed that out is because, you know, you're like, well, why would Washington get... Look, Washington was getting rid of all of their top players last year, doing all those different things, call it tanking, doing whatever. But the thing that I'm trying to point out is if this guy is healthy, and he was healthier last year than not, on a new team in a different system and things of that nature, and look, was it the case that maybe New Orleans was the only team that wanted to give him that contract or not? I mean, $13 million for a year. Were the Panthers willing to do that? Were the Titans willing to do that? I'm going to play why he said he chose New Orleans. But regardless, I think if you add him to this situation... And look, I'm sure he probably wants a bigger deal. So I think you're going to get a motivated player here as well to do that. And if he can stay healthy, I mean, dude, it makes sense.
We need somebody to sack Cousins.
Oh, you see, you're calling me negative. I'm texting that to the guys right now. West Bank Rick says at least somebody can go sack Cousins. No, but to your point, it is going to produce, and it's something I'm going to talk to Sean Fazan about coming up at 2:05. As to you have bodies there, right? And the thing is, in these two mock drafts, again, Mel Kiper post, 2 weeks of free agency as to why he has it. Pro Football Focus, they have the same player. And I do think the Chase Young signing facilitates you to do this, and that is go get your tackle. You know, Fashonu from Penn State, Olu Fashonu from Penn State, the guy that didn't give up any sacks in his time there, 6'3", 312, because I had seen some things.
Like,
right, you would heard some people say, well, edge rusher. And I'm like, well, look, I hear you. I'm not saying you don't need it, but you have bodies there. Like, you still have Granderson. You still have Peyton Turner. You drafted Isaiah Foskey. Like, you have bodies at defensive end. You don't have bodies at tackle. You know, it's like, I mean, now, again, Ross Jackson helped me out here last week because I'm in panic mode. He's like, look, this scheme, this system, might benefit Trevor Penning. They believe that he can still play at left tackle because this is a system that I keep saying is based on run or mauling or moving forward. It's not as much pass protection because it predicates the quarterback getting rid of the football quickly. That might benefit Trevor. This is going to benefit him in that, for the most part, it's, again, whether it's Cedric Wilson or others, coming in motion and giving the receiver the ball behind the line of scrimmage. It's pulling and running and then mauling a linebacker or a DB. It's a little different than backing up a couple of drops, trying to protect the quarterback that holds on to the football in Derek Carr. So if he can work at left tackle, then I don't have to draft one. At some point, again, I already know that Ryan Ramczyk's going to have time off, days off during the work. I already know I have to draft a tackle, one way, shape, or form. This guy stands out to me. So you sign a DN for $13 million, he's going to play. That is an edge rusher to me. That, to me, you know, facilitates and focuses that go into that. Now, the Pro Football Focus one, what's interesting, West Bankwick, and I'll ask you this, and I got to hit the break. Brock Bowers goes 15th to the Colts. If Brock Bowers is on the board and Fashunu is on the board, who do you go with? Still go with the tackle?
Yeah, I still go with the tackle.
Okay. All right. I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. I think Bowers is going to be good. I mean, I think it's a good weapon. Yeah. But I think at the end of the day, and again, it may not work. But, I mean, I'm just reading Kuiper's recap here. He just turned 21 in December. He has fantastic movement traits as both a pass and run blocker. 6'3", 312. He looks like he could play tight end. He started 21 games on the left side in college. So, look, that's just one of those things that makes a lot of sense to me. Now, he does say New Orleans might also be in the market for a wideout to pair with Chris Olave, who has put up back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons to start his career. Brian Thomas Jr. and Xavier Worthy, Texas, are the next receivers in my ranking. So he is throwing that out there as well. And yeah, it's what I've been saying on the show. How comfy are you with him just being there? Now, that's not disrespecting Rashid Shaheed. That's just, yeah, I'm being real. When I'm right, comparing around the league, you'd like to have two. And if you can go get somebody, I think at 14 they have options. I do. You know, and with all these quarterbacks going up, man, I mean, they're saying four of the first six are going to be QBs. That means you're going to have players drop down. And that's not including Denver that maybe wants to move up or take a quarterback. If they take a quarterback, well, that's not a position that you're going to be taking anyway. So I think at 14, a tackle will be available, a receiver will be available, and maybe tight end Brock Bowers. I don't know. So you're going to have options, and I do think also some defensive help could be there as well if you go that, yep, route. But let's see.
Hey, I got one last thing you got to do when I get off. You got to go look up Stephen A. I don't know if you saw it yet, but he has changed his tune.
Oh, I played it.
The Pelicans.
I played it 12:45. I played both of them. I played it from his podcast show, and then I played him. Piggybacking J.J. Redick, saying that right, if there's a team that he thinks could go to the NBA Finals, it's your New Orleans Pelicans. I'll play that right out of the break for you if you'd like, from J.J. I don't know if you heard
it. Yeah, I probably was watching it when you was playing it. So.
Okay, well, there you go.
Hey, if they could get a, if Pel 12 could get a YouTube, you could get one too, bro. Come on.
Here's the thing. I don't know when I'm going to have the time to do all that. You don't even want to know what my afternoon and evening is like. We got a watch party at an Evangeline Lounge on Toulouse later today. And that's after I pick up the kid, come home, shower, go set up, and then Graf's yelling at me to get there already at 3 o'clock. So let's go. I got a busy day. So I don't know what I'm going to YouTube.
You got to walk the dog first.
I can't walk the dog today. Somebody else got to do it. But thanks so much, man. I appreciate the time, West Bank Rick.
All right.
And we'll be right back. It's Sports Hangover on ESPN New York.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003 on the Rooterman Caller Hotline and Guest Line. Our thanks to Rooterman. Rootermancan.com. So way to go check them out for being the newest sponsors on the Sports Hangover. Always appreciate people giving us that opportunity to do that here as well. And our lead each and every day is brought to you by Lakeview Massage and Therapy and Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic. Always nice to see Dr. Josh Rillette. Saw him at the game with his lovely wife this past weekend. There are season ticket holders here as well as the Pels get ready to take on the Nets. Now, I do want to touch on some of the I'll play this because it just happened here as well. And then I'll get into a ton of Chase Young sound from him here as well. But this just took place on the Pat McAfee show. I told you that Kendrick Perkins was talking about him when I was playing the other sound. Again, it's been 24 hours, 48 hours of Zion and the Pelicans and things of that nature. So West Bank Rick said he saw it live while it was happening earlier today. But this is J.J. Redick. The question is, who has the best chance to go to the finals outside the top four? Team outside top four in the West that has the best chance to go to the finals?
Look, there's a number of teams. I think even going all the way down to 10, there's a number of teams here in the Western Conference that I believe can make a playoff run. In terms of who I think has the best chance to make the finals, I'm actually going to go with the New Orleans Pelicans. This is a team that has quietly been a top 10 offense, a top 10 defense. Over the last 20, they're 15-5. As Brian said, Zion Williamson for the last 2 months is playing the best basketball of the season. We were pretty harsh on him after the in-season tournament. His performance in that semifinal game against the Lakers, he's been awesome. They've unlocked him as a passer. Each month his assists have gone up. Trey Murphy is healthy now, and after a slow start shooting the basketball, has played unbelievable over the past few weeks. I look at this team and I see depth. I see arguably the best wing defender in the entire NBA in Herb Jones. This is a team that can absolutely make a deep run in the playoffs and potentially get to the finals. Having said that, Denver Nuggets are still the favorites to me. I want to be clear on that in the Western Conference. The other teams, I think the Mavs have a decent chance. I wouldn't, you know, discount Luka Doncic and that revamped roster in the playoffs. I'm not sold on the Phoenix Suns right now. Their defense has a lot of question marks, and they've been awful in the fourth quarter all season. So I got to go with the New Orleans Pelicans.
Again, I hear what he's saying, and I agree. I mean, the potential's there. We don't know. And the biggest thing about it is we've never seen them in postseason play like this. Zion hasn't taken a shot. There hadn't been a single opportunity yet for the Graf to be calling a game and do this.
Zion powers in on Walker.
Gracious.
Throws it up and one. Hey, thanks, ref, for calling a foul.
Woo! That hasn't even happened yet in a postseason game. Oh, playoff Todd's going to be something else, huh? But that's the thing. That it's just crazy to hear, because again, they're not, you know, creating something, or I mean, there's reasons that you're seeing this, and this is why I'm not saying that they're out of the, you know, 9 or 10 play in and things of that nature. I'm just saying you look at consistency, and barring something unforeseeable right now, do you think the Pels are going to go on a 5-6 game losing streak? I just don't see that. This team's been able to show that if they lose one or two games in a row, they can bounce back. They've shown, again, statistically, it's there. Proof is in the pudding. 21 road wins this season, only behind Minnesota, who has 24 road wins. They can play on the road. So that's pretty good. When you look at the top five teams, they all have 20 or more road wins. Oklahoma City, 20. Minnesota, 24. In thirds, Denver, 20. The Clippers in fourth, 20. The Pelicans, 21. Everybody else has 19, 18. The Lakers have 12 road wins. Golden State, 18 road wins. So when you look at that, and you look at four games here, I think you can get tonight. You need to show that you can get tonight. That's part of the maturity process. Games like this, you don't play with your food. You go take care of your business. Get one win. Get one win. We'll worry about the split in Florida because I would love a back-to-back win against the Magic and the Heat. The Heat are tough. It's a tough matchup. Tough matchup. Jimmy Butler salivating. He's already waiting for you. And Orlando is a quiet team in the East that no one's talking about. They have 40 wins. You wonder how good Boston's been this year? The Magic have 40 wins. They're in fifth. They're 14 games behind the Celtics. The Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis and Dame. I know they got rid of the coach and did all that. They're 10 games back of Boston in second. The Cavaliers are third in the East. The Knicks are fourth in the East. Got to face the Bucks in game two of that six-game homestand that's coming after OKC. Celtics as well. That homestand's a joke. I mean, the first three games, it's OKC, Milwaukee, and Boston for the Pelicans. So that blender, I mean, you want to feel playoff basketball, it is going to be playoff basketball. That's my point, though. Orlando is no joke on Friday. They're a 40-win team. They're a 40-win team. Miami is in eighth. Now, they're battling the Pacers with a game and a half behind them. They're one game out of six. All these games matter. They don't want to be in the play-in. They'd like to be in the first round at least and be sixth. So all these games matter. Brooklyn tonight, they're four games behind Atlanta for the 10th and final spot. But you still got to go take care of your business tonight. But it's something that you look at the maturity aspect of it, and it's something that you think that they should be able to do here. And it's something that I think you like. Willie Green, then Josh.
I think attention to detail, understanding the sense of urgency of where we are. You know, and that's the deal for us. Is for 48 minutes, we want to try to put together as best we can the best possible game we can. Coming out of halftime, we'll look at some film. We'll talk about some adjustments and keys to winning the game. And the guys are coming out executing.
All right. Josh, thank you for the phone call, sir. How are you?
How you been, Gus?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Doing well. I called with a couple of things. I just want to pick your brain on. Chase Young. He's played 32 games in the last 4 years, Gus. That's eight games a season. He only has 16 and a half sacks in his career. Last year, there was actually 47 players in the league that equaled half of his career sacks.
Right.
Just wanted to say that. For all the Saints fans that are getting excited about this, like Chef Scotty, I don't understand it. We signed a guy that's probably going to be in the hospital more than he's going to be on the field, and I don't see where it's at. When it comes to the whole Bowers thing, he's the greatest tight end to ever play college football. So if he ever gets to 14, we take him, and I'm okay with the Saints packaging like a second for next year and moving up back in the first or maybe like early in the second to get that tackle. Mm-hmm. I think that would be the move. The tackle is decently deep this year, so that's what I would do. I don't think you pass on a generational talent. I think you can ask a lot of teams, any team that pass up on Justin Jefferson, because they'd say the same thing. So, but are you doing a March Madness pool?
Yeah. The ESPN New Orleans one on ESPN.com. It should be live.
I'm gonna get in it, but I probably shouldn't give you these tips, but this is for your listeners. This is something that I've come across.
Okay.
Any team that's ever been in the top 10 of offensive efficiency for KenPom, but's been outside of the top 100 on defensive efficiency for KenPom, they've never made it to the Sweet 16. This is the history of KenPom's stats. There are two teams that filled those requirements, and that's Kentucky and Alabama this year. So I wouldn't put them towards, and in fact, they actually only win. They've only won five games their entire time in the first round. Also, any team that was ranked in the top 12 week six of the AP poll, Gus, over the last 20 years. I know this sounds random. Week 6, top 12, has won the national championship. So there's only 12 teams, okay, you got to choose from. Just giving your listeners some tips here, okay? And then I got one more. Let's go Purdue, baby. Have a good one,
that's
baby.
That's it. Let's go Purdue. I like that. All right, Josh, thank you so much, man. You got to stop by one Thursday. Come hang out with us either at Katie's or at Francesca so you can see the chef himself personally, buddy.
Speaking of the chef, we'll see him in 2 days. Over at Katie's. And we'll be back over at Francesca. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KNAE, is next on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is now live. The official sportsbook of ESPN features daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN shows and personalities like me. New users get $100 in bonus bets after making any sportsbook bet. Download the ESPN Bet app to sign up today. I'll see you there. ESPN Bet. What a play.
Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. In partnership with Lowbridge Lake Charles. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
On April 27th, the failure of the proposed new...
...have to be play-in teams. I know the logic they're suggesting. These are probably the last invites as opposed to some of the automatic bids, but I still don't like it.
Yeah, look, I hear you. If you want to argue the 16 seeds, Grambling's playing tomorrow, and the reward would be if they win, they get Purdue, the number one overall seed on that, which kind of stinks. But, look, I hear you. That's why there's some calling for a lot more teams. Do you want this to get bigger and start like yesterday instead of what used to be just Thursday, Friday? Do you want the tournament to be bigger? Are you good with this?
I think it's big enough. But I have heard... You have an argument for the 128.
Yeah.
Just one more weekend. Maybe you get rid of the conference tournaments and just do the top 128. I don't know if that's a possibility. But when you do look at it, yeah, it would be just one more week. But, you know, who really wants to be playing? You know, what would that be, 32 versus 1? I mean, come on.
Look, man, I'll be honest with you. That's why I have people like you, Raphael, and others to help me look at a lot of these colleges and these teams here as well as to who to win, and I'm probably just going to click on a lot of these different aspects of it because I just don't know. Honestly, I really don't. And it's a conversation we're going to have on the show here shortly with Antonio Daniels, whose birthday is today, from the New Orleans Pelicans Bally's broadcast, and also Will Guillory about the state of college basketball. And we used to know the coaches. And look, I think even for those two programs, I think I even talked about it with you, Jeff. I think, legitimately, if I go to 2-3 sports bars this week, whatever, and I'm like, hey, head coach of the Duke Blue Devils, head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels, I don't know if they could answer them because it's no longer Roy Williams and Coach K. You know what I'm saying? And their teams are good. And I'm not trying to make it seem like people don't watch it enough, but can they name, like, Bill Self's still at Kansas, but how many people can name 5-6 coaches in college? I guess Calipari, right? Still, but you get my point that I'm saying, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I came into loving college basketball in the early 80s when I was a freshman in college. And, you know, those players stuck around 3-4 years. You didn't see the movement. You didn't see the early there were a few. There are a few exceptions. But you got to know teams. You got to know coaches. Whether they were blue bloods or not, you still got to know them. And, you know, going into the mid-90s and later than that, it was tough to get to know a team because there were so many changes year to year.
Right. Yeah, I know. Well, we do have games tonight, and we got two tomorrow here as well. So let's do it. Let's start with the 5:45 p.m. on True TV. Both of these are 16 seeds. Wagner and Howard going at it over in Dayton, Ohio.
Absolutely. And by the way, you can catch these games on True TV. The games will be between commercials for, you know, ridiculous programming. That's the fun thing about watching these games on True TV. But Howard opened as a 3-point favorite, but the line's gotten juiced up a little bit to 3.5 for the Bison. Again, a lot of folks like Howard in this game, 3.5 points. They've got superior guard play, high major talent, including Seth Towns. He's a former Ivy League Player of the Year, enjoying a big campaign in what is his 8th season of college basketball. We talk about all the other things going on about people one and done. 8th season. A lot of the folks I'm looking at like Howard, -3.5. The over-under, by the way, on this one, 128.5. Not going to venture a guess there.
Okay, easy enough. And then we got another game coming up. And that is after the first one, Battle of 10 seeds, we spoke about Colorado State and Virginia. Colorado State 24-10, Virginia 23-10, around 8:10-ish is the start time there.
Yeah, a couple of people were surprised, not a couple, a lot of people were surprised that Virginia made it into the NCAA. Cavaliers looked pretty stunned that they got in themselves. They struggled mightily down the stretch in ACC play. Their offense has been pretty bad. It's hard to see them keeping pace with Colorado State in this one. 2.5-point favorite are Colorado State. I think that's gone down a little bit. I think it was at 3, but now -2.5. The over-under, 121.5. I think most of the experts like Colorado State in this game.
Well, easy enough. All right. To the NBA we go. We got a handful of games to look at throughout the week, as we do. We always like to see how they relate to the Pelicans. So, what do you like? Little Rockets talk tonight?
Yeah, that's what I've been watching. Again, Washington 11-57 overall, 4-27 at home. Houston a little under 500, 32-35, but 9-24 on the road. Rockets have won 4 of their last 5, including that victory Thursday. They're 36-29-2 against the spread. Washington 30-36-2 against the spread. 9.5-point underdogs tonight are the Wizards at home. And boy, you know, I like a home underdog, and that's a lot of points. 227.5 is the over-under. Wizards +340, Rockets -450. A couple of things you may want to think about as you put your equation together on where to go. Washington played without Kyle Kuzma the other night. He's questionable for tonight. Out for the Wizards, Denny Avdija, Marvin Bagley, Bill Coulibaly, and Tyus Jones. Washington could be down to just 2 players averaging in double figures. Houston now 8-1 against the spread over its last 9 games, 36-29-2, as we mentioned. Again, the team still has hopes of securing a bid to the NBA play-in tournament. Houston without Alperen Sengun, again, he's averaging 21.1 points a game, a little better than 9 rebounds a game, 5 assists. Rockets, though, recently 5-2 against the spread in their last 7. And that's when the spread was between -11 to -8, where it's sitting right now. Wizards 4-10-1 against the spread in their last 15 games versus teams that win 45% to 55% of their games. So again, things looking good for Houston straight up. A lot of points, though, to give. So again, put all that stuff into your equation.
Mavericks and Spurs coming up at 7, Nuggets and Timberwolves. That'll be an interesting of the top 2 teams up there battling out. Anthony Edwards with a silly dunk yesterday in that game. And I like to think Wembanyama can give the Mavs a little go there as well, man. He's playing something else right now too, man. But that game winner by Kyrie Irving and the Mavs, did you see that over the weekend? How they beat Denver?
Yeah, I did see it. I'm learning a new term. I had never, until about 2 weeks ago, I'd never heard the term posterize.
Yeah, it's.
And now I'm hearing it all the time.
It's, there you go. There it is. Lots of different plays being made for sure, man.
Someone's making it fetch.
I like that. What else do you want to touch on today?
Well, that's all the games I really have any info, but speaking of the Spurs, they're 8.5-point underdogs at home. You talked about the Denver Nuggets. They're 8.5-point favorites on the road. Minnesota, 8.5-point dog at home. Kind of a surprise there. But, yeah, many games to look at that affect the standings and the Pels. 7.5-point favorites at Brooklyn tonight.
All right, easy enough. If you want to follow ESPN Bet, see how some of these numbers go, how can people get involved?
Absolutely. ESPN Bet, download the app if you haven't already, and when you do use it, first-time users, $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. You can follow your favorite ESPN personalities and shows, all your favorite markets, bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, all the props, in-game props as well. Again, ESPN Bet, download it today. It's a great play. Got to be 21, and if you do have any gambling issues, call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. Terms and conditions apply. But again, the app has all the details for you. And that's what we got today, Gus.
All right. Thank you so much. As always, appreciate the time. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KNAE.
Absolutely. Happy to do it.
Yep, for sure. Take care. 800-998-1003 on the Ruderman Can Hotline. If you'd like to jump into the conversation, you can do so. Hour two. It's been brought to you by Chris's Paving, Driveways, Parking Lots, Overlays, locally owned and operated. Your asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the New Orleans and Bayou regions. Paving it at all. Give us a call, 985-960-2131. And don't forget, Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. Sean Fazan, Fox 8, is going to join us next as ESPN is announcing officially what Ross Dellinger put out there yesterday. 6 years, $7.8 billion deal, ESPN and college football playoff agreeing to that deal. That is through the 2031-32 season. So 1 point something, I think 1.2, 1.3 going to be shared amongst all the different conferences. It's incredible for the college football playoff. All right. Hour two's in the books. Hour three next on ESPN New Orleans.